Today's shiur is Masechet Ksuvos Daf Nun Tes, and we will begin on Daf Nun Ches Amud Beis, 11 lines from the bottom. Hamoisa Ramei Oimer Hegdish. As we discussed in the previous shiur, there are two takonis that we have been discussing that Chazal established. One was that a woman is supported, a wife is supported by a husband, and she has to turn over her basic earnings to him, as we have identified, and will Mitzvah identify in today's shiur again, that's Mishkol Shtei Shloim, Mishkol Chomesh Shloim Shesi Pihuda, a certain amount of wool that she spins, and the Meiser, the above that amount, is also turned over to her husband, and for that, he has to give her every week a Mo'a Kesef, spending money. The Mishnah said two machlokes, as we explained, Rashi holds. One was if one is magdish, the mas yadayim, the basic earnings of his wife, and where everybody agreed that hegdish wasn't effective, as we understood and explained in the previous year. And then there was the case of the meiser, where one is magdish the meiser, where a mayor says the hegdish is applicable, and Rabbi Yochanan Sandler disagrees. And the Gemara now will focus on that machlokes. Hamoiser mei hegdish. Ask the Gemara Amos Kadosh, at what point does become hegdish? Says the Gemara, Rav Shmuel Damri Tavayu, mois lachem isa kadosh. It only becomes hegdish after the death of the woman. And as the Rishonim explain, as we explained basically in the previous year, since this woman is not being supported by her husband, as we will soon understand, and she therefore keeps everything she earns, and if she keeps everything she earns, he doesn't have a right to be magdashit. It's not his. However, after she dies, if there's maisa left over, that is part of the assets, part of the estate that she leaves over, and the halacha is that a husband inherits a wife. And therefore, lacha misa, Rav and Shmuel say it's kaddish. Rav Adibar hava ama, moisa mechayim kaddish. Already from when she's alive, is the hegdish effective. Hava bar papa. So a papa tried to analyze what is the case of our Mishnah. B'may, exactly what is the situation? Ilema, b'malala mezoinus, umalala kasev litzachah, where the husband is supporting her, both giving her basic mezoinus, and this more kesef allowance. So if he's giving her all of this, so then she has to turn over to him her earnings and her meiser. So if so, my time of the mandam lamacha misa kaddish. Why do we have to wait until she dies that she becomes his? They're his already from when he's alive. Ella, she'ein ma'ala mezoinus v'lo ma'ala kesef. He's not supporting her, nor is he giving her the more kesef for her needs. So, if he's not supporting her, and he's not giving her the more kesef, so she gets to keep it. So how could he be magdashit? It's not his. So how could Adabar have a say, my time the man, the Omer Mechaim Kaddish, how could Adabar have a say that he has the right to be magdashit? Answers the Gemara. La'olam b'ma'ala mezoinus, ve'na ma'ala more kesef. Our mission is referring to a situation where he is supporting her, however, he's not giving her the extra Mar Kesef allowance that we discussed earlier. And as the Gemara will now explain, the question here is, as we said at the beginning of our shiur, there are two takonas. There's a takona that he supports her, and there's a takona that he gives her the Mar Kesef. And we learned, and that's actually the way Rav and Shmuel explained, that the mezoinus travels together with the basic wages she earns, and the more kesef travel together with the meiser that she earns. So since in this case, he's not giving her the more kesef, so he's not entitled to the meiser. And since he's not entitled to the meiser, he has no right to be magdashit, according to Rameya. Ask Tosis, if the main point that we're trying to express is that since he's not giving her the more kesef, he has no right to the meiser while she's alive. She's keeping that meiser. So what's the difference that the Gemara says with Ma'ala Mazoinus? It should just gotten to the point of a Ma'ala more Kesef. So the Rishonim say, indeed, that's the case. The point is the a Ma'ala more Kesef. What the Rishonim ever say is that generally it's hard to find a situation where somebody will give her the more Kesef, will give her the extra allowance, and won't support her. So the Gemara is saying he's supporting her, but the allowance he's not prepared to give her. And therefore, Rav Shmuel Savri took the Mazoinus Takhim Mas Yodel. Chazal said that the Mazoinus traveled together with her wages, or more Kesef Takhis Meiser. And the more Kesef travels together with the Meiser. Since, Kim de la Yavla more Kesef. So since he's not supplying her with the more Kesef, Meiser the Dahava. The Meiser belongs to her. And since it belongs to her, he has no right to be Magdashit while she's alive. The Hegdish is only Chal, Lachamisa, because Lachamisa, he yarshins her, he inherits her, and the Moisa that she will have left over in estate becomes his, and then the Hegdish could be effective. Rabbi Yochanan Samver disagrees, because he says that's a Hegdish for Dovish Labala Oilam. It's only a Hegdish that's going to be Chal after she dies. Ain't other Magdish Dovish Labala Oilam. Rav Adbar Hava, however, disagrees with Rav Shmuel. He holds Sovra Mezoinus Takas Moisa. The Mezoinus and the Moisa travel together, and the Mor Kesef travel together with the Machs Yodel. Since the case that we're saying our Mishnah is referring to is Kim the Yovla Mezoini, he is supporting her. So if he's supporting her, Moisa the Dehava. The Moisa belongs to him. If it belongs to him, therefore Michaim, he already could be Magdashit. Ask the Gemara, the Maika Mefugi. So we have a very fundamental machloikus Rav and Shmuel versus Rav Adbar Hava. What were the takanas Chazal? They all agree that she gets support and she gets the allowance. They all agree that he gets her basic earnings and her meiser. The question is, what is for what? The ma'akamufki masav midi deshkiach midi deshkiach. Rav and Shmuel hold mezoinus. It's considered something that's common. Everybody needs to eat and live. And basic earning is common. So therefore, Rav and Shmuel hold that they travel together. Whereas Rav Adbar Hava holds, Mas of Midi Dekayitz, Midi Dekayitz. The Mas Yadayim, as we said, and we'll say in a few lines again, is a set amount. It's Chomesh Shloim Shesi B'Yehuda. The allowance is a set amount. More kesef that he gives her. So it makes sense. Two things that are fixed should travel together. Ask the Rishonim that our Gemara is saying that the mezoinus that he supplies her is not a fixed amount. Ask the Rishonim, we learned, and we will learn in Mitzvah Shem, that the halacha is if one's husband travels overseas without leaving his wife a means of support, the halacha is the Bezdin goes to his assets and identifies what is she needs for her mezoinus, and every week she has a right to draw that amount from his assets. So we see that we can quantify mezoinus. So the Rishonim give two answers. One answer is usually that's not the case. Usually how does a husband support a wife? He gives her whatever she needs on a weekly basis. And that fluctuates. Fluctuates based on what her needs are, what she eats. Therefore, in the normal situation, it's not considered a set amount. Moreover, the Rishonim say, even in a case where Bezdin does determine that she should get supported off her husband's assets, we know that that support also fluctuates. Because what does support mean? What she needs to eat to live. But we know the prices of food and clothing go up and down. So it's not considered mita dekayitz. Ask the Gemara, Meisvei, the Braisa says, Tiknu Mezoinus, Tachas Mas Yodeho. The Braisa clearly seems to agree with Rav Shmuel, where the Braisa says the Mezoinus was given because of Mas Yodayim. How will Rav Adbar Hava understand this Braisa? Answers the Gemara, Eima Tachas Moiser Mas Yodeho. Don't say that it's Tach Mas Yodeho. We have to insert the word Moiser exactly as Rav Adbar Hava holds. Toshmas, the Gemara asks now a question, Rav Shmuel. It says in this brisa, imein a noisin la mor kesef, if he doesn't supply you with a mor kesef, l'tzocher for a weekly allowance, the loch is mas yodeh shalor. So here we clearly see that the allowance and the basic wages travel together. Answers the Gemara, Eima Moisa Mas Yudea. Like Rabbi Shmuel say, Rabbi Shmuel will say that this price that says you give it an allowance is for the Moisa Mas Yudea she earns. Ask the Gemara, how could we say, how could we redefine this price to say it's speaking about Moisa Mas Yudea? Volok Tani. In reference to this price, as a continuation of this price, the price says, my Oisala, what is the basic wages that she has to earn? Mishka Chomish Shloim. Shasi Bihuda. So the Bryce is not talking about the Meiser. The Bryce is talking about the basic. Answers the Gemara Hachakam. This is the way to understand the Bryce. We can't know what Meiser is. We can't know what the extra is until we know what the basic is. And the way to understand the Bryce is like this. Hachakam. Mas Yudea Kamahava. What is the basic earning? That after we identify what is the basic earning, delay the Meiser Da Kama, that we should understand what is the Meiser. Says the Gemara, Mishka Chomesh Shloim Shesi Bihuda. The amount of Chomesh Shloim Bihuda Shen Eser Shloim Begolol. But, according to Rav and Shmuel, Meiser and Mar Kesef travel together. Says the Gemara, Arma Shmuel, Halach Rav Yochanan Sandlam. Shmuel holds that the Halach is like Rav Yochanan Sandlam. And as the Ramban explains the Gemara beautifully, he says, we just finished learning Shmuel and Rav's opinion that said that our Mishnah, when the Mishnah speaks about the Meiser, it's not talking about while the woman is alive. Because while the woman is alive, since the husband's not giving her the more kesef, he's not entitled to the Meiser. The issue of our Mishnah is only after she dies, and he inherits her. And therefore, what is the machloikis of Remeir and Rabbi Yochanan Sandler, as we said earlier? Remeir holds that even though now he's not entitled to it, but he will be entitled to it when she dies and he yashins her. Other magdish tovish la belayim, according to Ramea. And Yochanan Sandler holds, ain't other magdish tovish la belayim. Since there's no question that he should have rights to it prior to her death, and now she's Baruch Hashem alive, so he can't be magdishin. And therefore, says Shmuel, halakha Yochanan Sandler, ain't other magdish tovish la belayim. Ask the Gemara, umi am Shmuel hachi, does Shmuel indeed hold that ain't other magdish dovish la belaylam v'tnan? The Mishnah says mesecht in the dorim kainim shani oisel picha. A woman makes a nether that everything I earn you may not benefit from. So the Tanakhama holds ain't a tzarch lahafer. There's no need to even be made for a nether. Everything she earns is his. So she can't make the nether that it shouldn't be his. Rabbi Kiva Omer, Yofer. Rabbi Kiva disagrees and he says that he should be made for the nether. Shem etadef alof, yesim in a royal line. And this is the way the Rishonim explain. Till now we've been discussing a wife's basic earnings. Then we discuss Moiser, what a wife earns above the basic earnings. And that is a third concept, a concept of hadofa. Hadofa, that's being referred to in our Gemara, in our Mishnah here, is hadofa yidei tchak. Sometimes a woman could really pressure herself and work extra, work harder, and earn more. Rabbi Kiva says that even though the husband's entitled to her earnings, her basic earnings, and even though the husband's entitled to the meiser, the hadofa yidei tchak that she earned because she exerted herself, certainly he's not entitled to. And therefore, if he is not going to be made for this nether, there's a real concern that he will benefit from it. So he has to be made for it, because it's not his. What does the Tanakhama obviously hold? Tanakhama holds everything she earns. Even the Hadofa Yidei Tchak, even that she worked extra hard on her own time and energy, makes no difference, goes to the husband, and therefore there's no reason to be made for. Ask the Rishonim. The halacha is that the only nedarim that a husband has a right to be made for, on the dorim beinoi lebeino, the dorim that affect their relationship. Here, if she's earning extra, and according to Rabbi Kiva, that extra belongs to her, because it was her hard work that got her this money. So how does he write? So Rabbi Kiva's saying, be made for it. How can he be made for it? It's not his. It's hers. It has nothing to do with their relationship. So I saw two answers in the Rishonim. Some Rishonim answer that they're living in the same house. And if he's going to have to be so careful that this belongs in the Hadofa category, and I have no right to touch it, it's going to be an impossible situation to live in. And therefore it is considered beino lebeino, and he has the right to be made for it. The Rosh, however, says a very different answer, which really speaks to the basis of this concept of beino lebeino. The Rosh says, what is considered beino lebeino? Anything that affects the relationship, says the Rosh. If we have here a situation where the wife is earning money, and the husband has an issa neder, issa kainim, that he's not allowed to touch anything she earns, what kind of relationship are they going to have? And therefore, it's everything that possibly touches upon their relationship is considered beino lebeino. Says the Gemara, Rav Yechim ben Nuri, a third opinion in the Mishnah there, Yofa, he should be mefer, Shemi Gershena, v'teyasur lachzer. We're not worried about the Hadafa. We're worried that he may divorce her, and when he divorces her, he may remarry her. And since when he divorces her and remarries her, at that point, the nether will have kicked in, because the nether is chal after they get divorced, and they'll never be able to live together, he'll never be able to remarry her. So obviously, why the Tanna Kamma is not concerned about it? The Rishonim say two easy pshatim. One is the chances of them getting divorced and then getting remarried are very remote, so Chazal weren't concerned about it. Another pshat is that he considers that something which is totally davish shloi b'loilam, and we're not concerned about something which is shloi b'loilam. Ask Tosfos, the Gemara could have said a simple teretz. We learned in the previous year that a wife has a right to say, Einin nezoinus vein oisa, don't support me and I won't give you my wages. So why does the Gemara have to say that we're worried that she's going to get divorced? And then when she gets divorced, the nether is effective. And then if they want to get remarried, which we all understand is a very extraordinary situation, why don't we say that the woman is going to say, I don't want you to support me, and I don't have to give you my wages, and then her nether is chal, even while they're married. So there are two terutzim that the Rishonim give. One teretz Tosfos gives is, it's very unlikely that a wife will ever say that. The wife will tell her husband, you'll never have to support me, is not something that the Gemara wants to think about. The Tanoim wanted to think about. Another teretz that Tosfos gives is that halacha, that a wife has that right to waive, is only according to Rav Huna. Rish Lakish, as we learned in the previous year, disagrees with Rav Huna and doesn't give the wife the right to say that. And the Gemara wants to say a pshat that figures even according to Rish Lakish. Says the Gemara, after learning that Mishnah Masechta in the Darim, V'omer Shmuel Alach Rav Yochanan ben Nuri. Shmuel says the Alach like Rav Yochanan ben Nuri. What is the basis of Rav Yochanan ben Nuri's concern? That she's making another now. This nether now can't be chal, because they're married. The concern is that they're going to get divorced, and then nether will be chal. Obviously, Shmuel is saying that somebody can be magdish dovish lo b'loilam. How can he be magdish dovish lo b'loilam? Shmuel holds another magdish dovish lo b'loilam. Answers the Gemara, Kiyam Shmuel, Aloch Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, when did Shmuel say, Aloch Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, lahadofa? He only meant it regarding the extra, which is already here now. Says the Gemara, if that's what Shmuel meant, so Lema, he should have said it. Lema karoch Rav Yochanan ben Nuri la'adofa. Another problem is, Inami, who is the one that's concerned about ha'adofa? Rabbi Kiva. So if that's Shmuel's concern, he should have said that he holds like Rabbi Kiva. Inami, haloch Rabbi Kiva. Why doesn't Inami and haloch Rabbi Tanakama? If he wants to disagree with the Tanakama and say that the husband should be made for the nether, he should have said it that way. Furthermore, Inami Aloch Rabbi Kiva, he should have said the halacha is like Rabbi Kiva. Why does he say that the halacha is like, what do you call it? Why does he say that the halacha is like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, which is not Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri saying at all? Now, Rashi says, the Gemara could have asked another question. What are we saying? What Shmuel was saying, and Rabbi Kiva's concern, that she's going to earn extra on her own exertion, that money belongs to her. But that money isn't here yet. So the Gemara could have asked another question. You, Shmuel, are the man that holds, ain't other magdash dovish lo b'loilam, that doff is lo b'loilam. Why didn't the Gemara ask that question? So Rashi says the Gemara could have asked that question also. But the Gemara already asked three questions on this pshat, so it was already enough questions. Elo Amar Rabbi Yosef, here it's different. Enochanami, normally Shmuel holds, Here we're talking about Kanamis. Kanamis Kamat. This woman said a Kainam. Shani Kanamis. Mitoch Shadam Oisa Peiris Chavera Olov. Just like I could go. And even though I can't say that your fruit should be Hegdish, it's not mine to make Hegdish. But I can't say that your fruit, I shouldn't be allowed to benefit. Similarly, Adam Magdish Davashla Beloilam. Even though I can't be magdish your item, I can make your item koinam even tzloi bala oilam. Ask the Gemara, Amalei Abaya, Bishlam Adam Oysa Peres Chayvera Olav. Your fruits that I say I can't benefit from, she can't Adam Oysa Peres of Chayvera. It makes sense. For although those fruits aren't mine, since we have a precedent that I can say my fruit, which I do own, should be offered to you, therefore, the halach is, ask the Gemara, that's why, just like I could say, my fruits are offered to you, I could say your fruits are offered to me. But ask the Gemara, in this situation, let's say I'll say that I want your fruit should be offered to you. I certainly can't do that. Because as Tosfos explains, the fruits aren't mine, and I have no control over you. Similarly over here, how could a woman be magda something that she has no control and doesn't exist? The Gemara is referring to a situation by Meris, Yikachu Yodai Loiseyim. She's saying that my hands, as Tosfos explained in the previous year, should become Hegdish. The Yadayim is Nuba Oilam. So therefore, we're not referring to something which is a Dova Shalabal Oilam. It's a Dova Bal Oilam. Ask the Gemara. Vichi Ka'amra Hachi. Even if the woman makes a statement, Yikachi Yadai, that my hand should be considered Hegdish. And like the Rishonim explained, what she means to say is that anything that she produces should be automatically Hegdish. Mi Makacha. Does she have a right to make such a Hegdish? Hamashabdalei. She already has a previous lien on her hands. What's the previous lien? That everything she earns goes to her husband. Answers the Gemara, Dama l'chi megarsha. She doesn't say that they should be Hegdish now. She says that it should only be Hegdish after she is divorced. Well, there, her husband has no rights on her hands. So there's a very similar question, and I just want to make the point again, that the Gemara is saying now, that she's making a nether that will only be chal after they're divorced. And that's why Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri is suggesting be made for the nether. Because otherwise, if you want to get remarried, you'll have a problem. But again, asked the Rishonim, this is not beino lebeino. If the nether is at a point in life where they're divorced, so it certainly has nothing to do with their relationship. At that point, they have no relationship. A husband has no right to be made for a nether that has nothing to do with their relationship. So again, the Rishonim take the concept that we said earlier and say that since they're married today, and yes, the nether will only be chal after the divorced, when they're not married, but it ruins their relationship if she's making the dorim, and therefore it falls under the category of beino lebeino. Ask the Gemara, Umi kamidi, dila hashtalei kaddish, is there a concept in halacha that today she can't make it hegdish, ulakame kaddish, and she can make it effective at a later date? Of course we find such a concept. If somebody tells his colleague, I'm selling you this field today, but I'm making a declaration. When I buy it back, tigdish. It should be hegdish. So we see even though now it's not going to be mine, it's going to be yours for years. But when I buy back it, the Hegdish is Chal. So we see the Hegdish could be Chal at a later date. Ask the Gemara, Maskele Rav Yirmiyah, Mi Dami, how can we compare the two situations? Hosom b'yod l'agdisha. Now I still own the field. Yes, I'm selling it to you. But the day I'm making this declaration, the field is still mine. So since today, I can be Magdish it. So therefore, even though I'm not being Magdish it today, I'm only being Magdish it after I sell it and buy it back, I have a right to do that. However, she has no control over the situation because she has no control over her hands until her husband divorces her. And she doesn't control that process. The husband chooses. As we know, the power of a get is by the husband, not by the wife. Isn't this similar, says the Gemara? Somebody's saying to his friend, I already sold you a field. That the halach is, that if I tell you, now I have absolutely no control over the house. It's like me walking over to a person, and he owns a house. I never had any relationship to the house. And I tell you, you know that house? When I buy it, I'm going to be magdashit. How could you say that? I have no connection to it. The Lekotcha. Answers the Gemara, how could you compare that case to our case? Maskler papa, midame, hasen gufo peres piyodet lekeach. Your house is completely yours. I have absolutely no connection to it. Hacha, gufo biyodahu. She does have a connection. Albeit, she doesn't have the power to free herself from her husband. But everybody owns their own self. Nobody owns someone else. Isn't this similar? It's similar to the situation where a woman says, where one says to his friend, let's say somebody borrows money from someone else. And he says to him, he put up a field as collateral. And he says, when I redeem it back to myself, tigdish, since I do have a connection to it, because I only put it up for a collateral, that I have the right to be magdashit. Ask the Gemara, still it's not a perfect comparison. There, if I put it up for collateral, I have the right that if I come and I pay up the loan, I get back the collateral. Here she has no way of freeing herself on her own, independently from the husband. Hello, Damya, isn't it similar? Somebody says to his colleague, let's say I put up a field for collateral for 10 years, and I say when I put it up, that even if I have the money to pay up the loan, I can't redeem the collateral. You have rights to use this collateral for 10 years. The kadosh. Still, even though for these 10 years I have no rights on the field, I still have a right to be magdashit. Says the Gemara, it's still not similar. I know that the 10-year date will come and it comes back into my rishus. Therefore, even today when it's not in my rishus and it's not possible for it to be in my rishus, I have a right to be magdashit. She has no control to ever know that the marriage will end. It's not in her hands to end the marriage. So we're back to where we started. The question is, how could a woman, how could Shmuel, Rabbi Yochanan Nuri, to be a little more sharper, say that a woman can make a neder while she's still married, that should be chal after they get divorced, since she has no control to make that status happen? How could she make a nether? Ain't the magish davar shel bal olam? Isn't this the best example of a davar shel bal olam? Ask the achronim before we go further. Yesterday in the shir, when the Gemara wanted to quote the machloikis, the first machloikis we find in Shas of ain't the magish davar shel bal olam, what is the primary machloikis the Gemara quotes? The Gemara quotes a machloikis where a man says to a woman, a man's a guy. He says to the woman, L'chisha es gairi, when I will become a ger, t'kadosh, you should be my wife. So we had a machlokes from Meir the Chachamim. Meir says, Ein ad magdish tovah shel bal olam. Meir says, Ad magdish tovah shel bal olam, and the kedushin is effective. The Chacham hold, Ein ad magdish tovah shel bal olam. Right now he's a guy. A guy can't make kedushin. Ask the Achroinim, our Gemara is teaching us that as long as you have control over the situation, even if you hold ein other magdish davish lo b'loylam, it's not considered davish lo b'loylam. That's why in our situation, even though I don't right now have the field, but since we know that ultimately after 10 years I'm going to have the field, it's considered davish haba loylam. So same thing to Geiris. This guy, it's in his control to decide if he wants to be a Geir or not. So why is that considered davish lo b'loylam? So some achroinim, because of this question, say gevaldige teretz. They say that the proof or the source for the machlokes for Mei Chacham is not from the case Alach Hashez Gairi. They say the Chacham will agree that if a guy goes over to a woman and says, I'm Kaddish you, that it should be effective after I'm a ger, since it's totally in his control, everybody will consider that Kedushin effective. The machlokes where we have the Mei and the Chachamim is regarding the case of Alach Hashez Tashtachri. And every Kanani goes over to a woman and says, I'm being Mekadosh you, that the Kedushin should be effective after I'm freed. that's not in his hands. It says in the master's hands, and that's where we have the machloikus or the magdish tovah shabalaylam or not. But then I saw other chorim say that the question is not a question. Because geirus is not completely up to the goy. You have to have a bezdin. Geirus without a bezdin is not a geirus. So it's not something that's totally in his control. In a case where I gave you my field as collateral, and there's an expiration date, that after 10 years I can redeem it, so it's totally in my control. If I want, I can redeem it or not. That's why it's considered Dov Bala Oilam. However, in a case where Geiris, although obviously it starts with the decision of the guy, but it isn't completely in his hands to affect it, he needs Bezdin to make it happen, and therefore we can't compare the cases. So we're back to where we started. How can a woman, according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, and Shmuel Paskins like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, make a neder that will be effective after she gets divorced? Ain't on the Magdash Tovah Shlo B'Loilam. El Amar of Ashi, Kainomus Kamat, you're bringing a raya from Kainomus, Shani Kainomus, the Kedushas HaGofninu. Kainomus have a higher level of Hegdash. We know that when we speak about Hegdash, there are two types of Hegdash. There's something called Kedushas Damim, and something called Kedushas HaGof. Kedusha Stav means that it has value. But let's say I magdish this table, saying that I own the table. Let's say I magdish the table with Kedusha Stavim. That means I don't have to give the table to Hegdish. I could redeem it for its value. However, if I give something with a Kedusha Saguf, I'm not allowed to redeem it. So we see that Kainam has a higher level of Hegdish. And therefore, although normally, as we're saying so very clearly, ain't all the magdish tovah shlo b'la'ilam, kainam is different. Shani kainamis the kedushas gufnanu. Says the Magen to Rava, and I'll prove it to you from something that Rava taught us. Dom Rava Hegdish. The case of Hegdish is as follows, the Rava refers to. Let's say I owe you money, and I put up a table, I put up anything for collateral, that you have a lien on that item that you could collect if I don't pay you. And then I take that item that I gave you a lien on, and I magdish it. The halach is that the hegdish takes off the lien. Or chametz, similar case. Let's say I owe a goy money, and I identify chametz, that the goy should have a lien on that chametz. And it comes Pesach, and we know that the Jews not allowed out chametz, by raw by matzah. Is the chametz considered the goy's? The goy doesn't have a problem, by raw by matzah. Or is it considered the Jews? The halach is considered the Jews, even though there's a lien on it. The shichr, similar cases before. Let's say I go and I put up my slave, that you have a lien on my slave after I borrowed money from you. And then I go and I free the slave. The shichr is stronger than the lien. Mafkim de shichr. They undo the lien. So here too, even though the husband truthfully should, the husband's lien on his wife should prevent the nether that she makes from being effective, since she's saying a koinam, which is a very strong form of hegdish, it's stronger. Ask the Gemara, if we're saying the hegdish is so strong that it's stronger than the husband's rights over the wife's earnings, so why did Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri say that the nether will only be effective after they get divorced? If hegdish is so strong, it should be effective today. V'nigdish mehashto. Says the Gemara, you're right. Strictly speaking, hegdish kainam is so strong that if a woman says it, even though she has a prior obligation to her husband, it should be chal. However, amur rabbanon l'shibud debal, keichet delo tigdish mehashto. You know, men and husbands and wives sometimes get into a fight. So, and sometimes women come to the Daf Yomi Shir also. So if a woman comes to the Daf Yomi Shir and she has a bad day with her husband, she'll say, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to be magdish my earnings and the Gemara with a kainim. And we're learning now that the woman, Midaraisa, has a right to do that. And the husband has no rights because we're saying that that's the power of kainim and hegdish. To avoid that problem, Chazal said, even though hegdish is so strong, it won't be chal until the marriage is terminated. And therefore, even though strictly speaking it should be chal, Chazal pushed it off. And Taisa says, we find the same concept by every Bal Choyf, meaning as follows. Taisa says, let's say I owe you money. So I want to not pay you, but I know you have a lien on what I put up. So I'll go on be magdish what I own, and I don't really expect to ever own anything else that you'll be able to collect from. And like this, I'll be able to cause that you'll never be able to collect your loan. Again, says Tosfos, that Chazal wanted to strengthen the power of the Malva, Amul Shibud the Baal, that even though, strictly speaking, the Hegdash should be Chal, Chazal said that it should not be Chal. And therefore, the Rishonim also discuss that the Koinam that the woman has to make has to be, or the Sloiva that we're discussing has to make, would only be a Koinam that affects the husband, or affects this Malva. That's why we don't want it to be Chal. But let's say she makes a general Koinam. So it's not only between her and her husband, or she makes a or he makes a kainim for the whole world. Maybe there it would be chal. Now the Mishnah begins. Eilu malachos she'ish ois labala. What work does a woman have to do on behalf of her husband? Techena she grinds, v'oifa bakes, mechabeses does the laundry, mevashelos cooks, or manikas benar she has to nurse the child. So I saw the Rishonim discuss what pshat benar, her child. So I saw a number of pshatim. One pshat is, it's only her child that she has to nurse. But let's say your husband has a child from a different marriage, and he wants her to nurse that child. She's not obligated to nurse that child. Another pshat that I saw, interesting pshat, the Rosh quotes Yerushalmi, that says, let's say she has twins. She's only obligated to nurse one of the two twins. Manika Spina, only one of the two children. She has to make his bed. Vice of the summer. This is what we discussed earlier. She makes the wool. That's the basic earnings. That's what a woman has to do for her husband. Seven malachas the Mishnah identified. I saw the Mefarshim say, there's a pasuk in Mishlei. Simcha le'ish b'mana piv. So Mefarshim explained, simcha. Sheva melachos chayev ha'isha. Seven melachos must a woman do leish for her husband, the man of piv, if he so requests. Which seven melachos? The seven melachos that our Mishnah just taught us. Hechnisla shivcha afchas. If she brought in a shivcha, so now she the shivcha could do some of the works. So the halacha is like the chenis loyayfa. She doesn't have to grind, she doesn't have to bake, v'loy mechabeses, and she doesn't have to do laundry. And there are two machlokes rishonim that I saw regarding the shivcha. Does the Mishnah mean that she actually brought a shivcha into the marriage, and therefore she says, if I brought a shivcha into the marriage, therefore I shouldn't have to do these things, it's her job? Or perhaps, even if she didn't actually bring a shivcha, but let's say, as we've been discussing in these shiurim, she brought a very large dowry that certainly has enough money that he could buy a shivcha. So she could say, I brought you a nadin that you could buy a shivcha and I shouldn't have to do it. Now there's another machlokes rishonim I saw. Let's say she brought this shivcha. And now, because she has the shivcha here, she's absolved from doing some of the malachas. Who has the obligation to support the shivcha? The shivcha has to eat and drink also. So most Rishonim say it's her obligation, because if he's going to have to pay the shivcha, what did he accomplish? Other Rishonim say that once she brings a shivcha in, even though he has to support her, that's still enough that she should be not obligated to do these malachas. Shtayim, if she already brings two shivchais, en vashalas, she also doesn't have to cook, v'emenikas benah, she doesn't have to nurse the child. Shalish, if she already brings in three, Emetzas los amita, she doesn't have to make the bed. Venois betzemer, she doesn't have to work with wool. Abba, yeshevet v'katadra, she sits on a throne. Asks Tosfos, once we already went through three shivchas, we'll see that all the malachas that the Mishnah identified have been covered. So what's the difference between when she brings three shivchas and four shivchas? Answers Tosfos, when she brings three shivchas, even though all these major malachas that the Mishnah identified she doesn't have to do, there are always small jobs that come up that she still has to do. Once she brings in four shivchas, any job, small or big, she has enough of a staff to take care of. Even if she brings in 100 shvachos, she has to, he could force her to do some work. Because if a woman is completely idle, doing nothing, it can only bring to immorality. So I saw two issues that the Rishonim discuss. One is that even though the Mishnah is telling us, the Belez is telling us, that he could always force her to take a basic job, because sitting idle is terrible. Still, we learned that on an Aleph, what is the minimum that she has to make Semer? Mishkel Chamesh Shloim Sesi B'Yehuda. Certainly this woman, who's only working to avoid Zima, doesn't have to make a minimum amount. We just want it to be occupied. Not as another Shiloh. This woman is working only because she brought in enough Shifchitz. She really shouldn't have to work. It's only doing it to avoid Zima. So the question is, who keeps... So she goes to work. Who keeps the earnings? Does she get the earnings, or does the husband get the earnings? It seems most Rishonim, it makes sense, so that she keeps the earnings, because the Shvacha is already doing everything she's supposed to do. Rav Shimon Gamliel Aymer, Af Hamadis Ishta Melasis Melocha, if somebody makes a neder that his wife should not be allowed to work, Yoytzi V'Dita Ksuba, it's grounds for divorce. Shibatola Nevi L'Dei Shimon. But Tala brings people to go, boredom brings a person to go insane. And therefore, the halacha is that she should, has to work. In fact, I saw two very nice divrei Torah. One is that we find by a sukkah that if you have empty space of three tefachim, the sukkah is posel. If you have posel sukkah, you have to have four tefachim. Why here is it four tefachim and here three tefachim? Because empty space, idleness, is the worst thing in the world. Then I saw a beautiful verse from the Malbim. We all know the pasuk in Parashas Bereishis. After Adam HaRishon did the Aveira, so the pasuk says, Arura ha'adoma avureich. I'm cursing the land that you're always going to have to work hard on the land. I'm not such a bucky in digduk, but we could trust the Malbim. The Malbim says that the right word should have been Arura Adama Biglolech, because of you. What does it say, Avurech? So says the Malbim, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was telling Avram, telling Adam Rishon, is Arura Adama, I'm cursing the land, that a person is going to work hard, but don't think that that's a curse. It's Avurech, it's for your benefit. Because if you wouldn't have what to do, as we're learning in our Mishnah, the worst thing is to be idle, to do nothing. Says the Gemara, Techenes HaKadaitach, our Mishnah seems to say that she does the actual grinding. She doesn't do the actual grinding, the machine does the grinding. Ella Eima, Matchenes. She puts it into the machine. Vibay Seima, Brechai the Yod, it's talking about a hand grinder where she actually does the grinding. Says the Gemara, Masnis like Reb Chiya, our Mishnah is not like Reb Chiya. The Tanya Reb Chiya, Ein Isha El Yoifi, Ein Isha Lebonim. A woman is made to keep beautiful and to have children. A person has to take nice care of his wife, buy her nice jewelry. If somebody wants to give his wife, make her look beautiful, let her put on linen clothing. He wants his wife, his daughter to have a beautiful complexion, yechlana afroichim, she should give it to eat small chicken, v'yashkena chol of samach lepirka, and right because she becomes mature, he should give her to drink milk. So I saw from Chaim Kanyevsky, he says it's a very interesting observation. He says, we look at Parshas Chayesara, when the pasuk says how old Sarah was, meyishana, v'esmishana, v'shivishanim. The pasuk uses the word shanim three times. But Yaakov Avinu, when the pasuk speaks about how old he was, Mei Yishonim, V'arba V'shish Yishonim. The Torah only uses the word Shonim twice. Why here does the Torah use the word Shonim three times, and here twice? Answers Rechaim Kanyevsky. Because as Rashi teaches us at the beginning of Parshas Chayesara, by Sarah there were two factors to consider. One was that she didn't do Averis, and the other was that she was beautiful. But that's only a factor by a woman. As Rav Chiya says, Ein Isha L'Yoifi. But by Yaakov, Yoifi is not a factor. By a man, Yoifi is not a factor. So it only says Shonim twice. In fact, the Paiskim use this Gemara to discuss a very interesting Shaila. The Shaila is a person allowed to have plastic surgery. because the halacha is you're not allowed to wound yourself. You're not allowed to cause yourself to be wounded. And when you have a surgery, even if it's a plastic surgery, it's wounding. So of course, if it's letzoyrich, it's mutter if a person is sick. But could we consider plastic surgery just to make yourself more beautiful, something that's considered letzoyrich? So a lot of poskim suggest that since our Gemara says, ein isha liyoyfi, a woman has to look beautiful, so it's considered letzoyrich, and a woman will be allowed to have plastic surgery. Says the Gemara, Menikas Benoch, a woman has to nurse her children. Lamas nisim like Beis Shammai. Should we say our Mishnah doesn't follow the opinion of Beis Shammai? The Tanya, we learned in a Braisa, Nodrish loy lahonikas benoch. If a woman makes a neder that she shouldn't nurse a child, Beis Shammai amishem tesdad mipiv. She takes away the breast, she doesn't have to feed him. The neder is effective. Beis Hillel amikoyfim menekusa. She has to nurse him. Nisgarsha, once they get divorced, then everybody agrees, enikoyfi can't force her to nurse. But let's say the child recognizes the mother. The former husband pays her. So we see that Beis Shammai says that the woman can make a neder and not nurse. If she has to nurse, how could she make that neder? Answers the Gemara Field Tem Beis Shammai. She made the nether, but he confirmed it. The Ksavri Beis Shammai, who knows an etzba mishnah, he's the one that made the nether affected by confirming it. Beis Hillel Savri, he knows etzba mishnah by initiating the nether. Ask the Gemara of Nifgul B'Ksuba Ba'alma, why they ask, arguing in this case, why don't we make any time where a woman makes a nether that she won't benefit from the husband? According to Beis Shammai, if the husband confirmed it, he should have to pay the Ksuba. And according to Beis Hillel, he shouldn't have to pay the Ksuba because she made the nether. V'nifgul B'Ksuba Ba'alma, right, the time Beis Shammai ain't a machnika, she's not obligated to nurse if she doesn't want. Al-Machvata, it must be, that nursing is not something that a wife is obligated to do.